This is an iHeart podcast.
Trump spoke at the United Nations today. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about this autism press conference. Head of the FDA is here. Brandon Tatum and more coming up on I'm Right. What is a globalist? Because Trump spoke at the United Nations today, and it was wonderful. He said a couple things that are great. And you know I don't do that often. How often do we come on here on I'm Right and do that? Wow, Trump's so great. I think it's so boring and lame. We don't do that a lot. But he spoke today, and it was really wonderful. But before we get to that, a globalist, what does that actually mean? Well, nations, your nation, my nation, whatever nation you're watching me from right now, that nation has an obligation for you, to you. You have an obligation to it, and it has an obligation to you. That's how it's supposed to work. You're going to be a good citizen. You're going to follow the law. You're going to pay your taxes if you desire. You'd serve in the military, whatever it may be. These are obligations you have, but the obligations go both ways. The nation has an obligation to worry about your interests, first and foremost. Your interests. France, the French government, they have an obligation to put the French people first and foremost. American government, American people. You get the idea. That's how it's supposed to work. That's how historically it has worked. But something has happened in recent years, and it's been unbelievably damaging to Western civilization, to the entire planet itself. Globalism has come in. Many people have spoken about globalism for a very long time, but in its simplest form, here's what it is. The people who run these countries now, the major Western countries, they don't see themselves as protectors of that country, as servants of that country. They see themselves as global citizens who together should rule the entire planet. That's how they see themselves. So instead of worrying about serving you, protecting you, they worry about each other. They serve and protect each other. They have these big meetings where they come up with grand plans. The actual interests of their specific nation and their specific citizen couldn't possibly matter less. Never even enters their mind. They're all in this for each other, the globalists. Most of these people are driven by some form of communist ideology, which of course, communism and globalism are one and the same. Communism was always supposed to be for the entire planet, but that's another matter. The United Nations is one of the greatest examples of what I just said. They come together, they meet, and instead of figuring out how to best serve the people in their countries, they figure out how to crap all over their countries. They figure out how to grab large parts of the third world and import it. And when they're supposed to do things like keep the peace, they don't do that very well at all. In fact, Trump, this is so refreshing to have somebody speak like this at the UN. Trump basically said, what would you say you do here?
I ended 7 wars, dealt with the leaders of each and every one of these countries, and never even received a phone call from the United Nations offering to help in finalizing the deal. All I got from the United Nations was an escalator that on the way up stopped right in the middle. If the First Lady wasn't in great shape, she would have fallen. But she's in great shape. We're both in good shape. We both stood. And then a teleprompter that didn't work. What is the purpose of the United Nations? The UN has such tremendous potential. I've always said it. It has such tremendous, tremendous potential, but it's not even coming close to living up to that potential. For the most part, at least for now, all they seem to do is write a really strongly worded letter and then never follow that letter up. It's empty words, and empty words don't solve war. The only thing that solves war and wars is action.
It is so refreshing to hear an American president speak like that, especially because we all understand now, we get it, that when a Democrat becomes president, and let's be honest, lots of Republicans, when they become president, the first thing they try to do is get themselves in with that group of globalists. Not prioritizing you, they try to become part of the in crowd. How many other presidents have you seen stand up in front of the United Nations and speak boldly like that? looking them right in the eye, standing in the UN saying, what do you even do? It's amazing. It's wonderful to watch because these are soulless, evil people who have done the worst things in the world, and they deserve to be called out and embarrassed like that right to their face. And speaking of soulless and evil, what is a central part of the globalist communist plan? We've talked about it endlessly on this show. What's the most important part of their plan by far? The most important part of their plan is mass migration of hostile foreigners. Why? This is something we've talked about extensively. Why is that their thing? I've had people email me, Jesse, I don't understand. Why does the same thing take place in the UK as takes place in Germany, as took place in America under Biden? I said, why are they all doing the same thing? Why are there mass numbers of foreigners being imported seemingly as fast as humanly possible? Why is that a thing? You must understand why that's a thing. You have to get it through your head. You know how these people are a group? We just talked about that. They all get together and they talk about each other, how to serve each other, all these things. Do you know what worries them? Do you know their chief enemy in their mind? Do you know who it is? You. Me. Patriotic citizens who don't want to be global citizens, who don't want to be crushed. We don't want to go in green this or garbage that. We don't want these things. Patriotic citizens who love their country are the greatest threat, the greatest enemy in the minds of virtually everybody who sits in that room. So what to do? What to do? What do we do about these Americans who love America? What do we do about these Germans who love Germany? These frogmen who love France? What do we do? Well, let's get some new people in here. If we have a big crop of people who love the country, and they're the only thing holding us back from taking total power, if we can't kill the patriots, why don't we just replace the patriots? It's a plan. It's the central part of the plan. It's why you see Democrats protecting every illegal as fast and hard as they possibly can in the United States right now from deportation. They understand that illegal being here is everything to them. Donald Trump stood in front of the United Nations and called them all out for it.
Not only is the UN not solving the problems it should too often, it's actually creating new problems for us to solve. The best example is the number one political issue of our time, the crisis of uncontrolled migration. It's uncontrolled. Your countries are being ruined. The United Nations is funding an assault on Western countries and their borders. The UN is supposed to stop invasions, not create them, and not finance them. Europe is in serious trouble. They've been invaded by a force of illegal aliens like nobody's ever seen before. And because they choose to be politically correct, they're doing just absolutely nothing about it.
He's right. And of course, it's worse than that. It's not that they're doing nothing about it. It's what they want. Don't think for a moment that the ruining of America, of Europe, is some byproduct, some accident of naivete or soft on illegal immigration policies or just misplaced compassion. Don't think for a moment that's what it is. It is very, very evil. It is very, very focused, and it is done on purpose. I want to go ahead and reinforce this to you again as we get ready to wrap this up here, that the mass importation of foreigners is everything to them. And when a foreigner comes here and takes your job and rapes your daughter and kills your family on the highway, Democrats and these foreign communists as well are not sorry even a little bit. They don't feel bad. They don't shed a tear. They don't look in the mirror and say to themselves, wow, maybe we shouldn't have done that. It's a central part of the plan. And to make an omelet, you gotta break some eggs. They want a prison gang from Venezuela to come replace you. You know why? Because you love your country, will fight for your country, and you will fight against the people trying to ruin it. The prison gang from Venezuela can be bought for a $500 Visa card and a nice hotel in New York City, courtesy of the American taxpayer. He's what you call a cheap date. You demand things from your politicians. You expect things from your government. And in the minds of these people, that makes you the enemy. And I do love that every time Donald Trump takes to the podium, he flat out tells people now, you're not welcome here.
Our message is very simple. If you come illegally into the United States, you're going to jail, or you're going back to where you came from, or perhaps even further than that. You know what that means?
I love that. I love that we're deporting illegals to Africa. They're not even from Africa. Hey, best of luck. We're sending them to Syria. Don't come here or it will be hurt. Such a difference when you change who the president is. So again, we don't do this a lot, you know, big Trump slobber fest, but credit to Donald Trump today. It was a wonderful speech. He's doing the right thing. A lot of the right things. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. He also talked about autism yesterday, had a big press conference, him, Robert Kennedy Jr. We have the head of the FDA to join us next to discuss the who's who and what's what. Is it? Is it Tylenol? Before we get to that, let me get to this. Your olive oil is old and stale. And you never thought about that. And I know you didn't. Don't lie, because I never did either. We always have, behind our stove, we have salt, we have pepper, we have a bottle of olive oil, because Ob always cooks with it. And you never think about it. You buy it, use it till it runs out, and where do you buy it? You buy it at the grocery store. Have one bottle of olive oil fresh from a farm, and you'll be mad at all the times you've used that crappy olive oil. It's old, months old, sometimes years old. Farmfresh246.com. They're going to send you a free bottle. It's $39, but it's free. It's going to cost you like $1 to cover the shipping. One bottle. You'll be back all the time. Farmfresh246.com. We'll be back.
Tylenol during pregnancy can be associated with a very increased risk of autism. So taking Tylenol is not good. All right, I'll say it. It's not good. For this reason, they are strongly recommending that women limit Tylenol use during pregnancy unless medically necessary.
Okay. Big press conference yesterday. I know you saw it. I'm stupid and uneducated. I don't know what a lot of these big words mean or the why behind anything, but that's why we actually brought on a decent FDA director now. It's so nice to have one of these people who's actually a good person. Joining me now, Dr. Marty McCary, FDA director. Marty McCary.
Good to be with
doctor,
you, Jesse.
I don't know. Of course. It's an honor to have you, sir. I don't know what any of these words mean, though, and I'm obviously autism's terrible thing that so many families struggle with. Help us understand the who's who and what's what here.
Yeah, first of all, you're exactly right. Autism is a cruel disease, and it's expanded in our generation. It was rare just a generation ago, and now it's 1 in 12 boys in the state of California, and it's rampant. And it's a brutal situation to live with. These kids, they get frustrated, they cry, they can't talk, they want to be able to talk back sometimes, and they can't. There's a full range of symptoms. But it may be preventable, I mean, because this is not a genetic problem. It's something that's ballooned up in our lifetime. So we made two big announcements yesterday. One is that we are asking people to consider the potential association between taking acetaminophen or Tylenol in pregnancy and autism. That's an association that's been pretty well described. Remember, most low-grade fevers do not need any treatment. And then the other announcement was that we have a treatment for some kids with autism. Doctors sometimes choose to test for an antibody whereby the body has an autoimmune condition and the child's natural antibodies are reacting against the folate receptors on the brain, blocking folate from entering the brain, and that may be a cause of autism. So we are approving in a few weeks here, and we made the announcement yesterday, leucovorin, which bypasses that blocked receptor and can help up to 2/3 of kids with autism and cerebral folate deficiency.
Oh, I can't even imagine what wonderful news that is to so many parents out there. Let's focus on acetaminophen, doctor, because I can't help but think about all the 800 milligram tablets we were given in the Marine Corps and told that that should heal everything. I have God knows how much of that stuff flowing through my veins. What is it about this stuff that's not good?
Well, the researchers have postulated on different mechanisms, but when they look at the large studies, there are 27 large studies that have found the association between taking this acetaminophen in pregnancy and the child going on to develop autism. So that association, in the opinion of the dean of the Harvard School of Public Health, is a causal association. Now, there are a couple studies to the contrary, but shouldn't we be playing things on the side of safety, especially when the vast majority of low-grade fevers don't need anything? You know, we kind of have a pill-popping culture in the United States, and the reality is that low-grade fevers, you can tough it out with low-grade fevers many times.
Doctor, another thing that people talk about a lot is the childhood vaccination schedule, vaccines. And again, this is another area I know nothing about. People are unbelievably passionate about it on both sides. If you even say the word vaccine, you might as well shut down your email account that day because it's about to get ugly. What do we think? What do we know? What's true and what's not true?
Well, we have to listen to parents. And some parents want to take some liberty and be a little more flexible with the vaccine schedule. I don't think we should be condemning those parents or kicking those kids out of a pediatrician's practice, which is common in the United States. If somebody wants to hold off on the hepatitis B shot from the day of birth when it's recommended until age 12, that's perfectly fine when the mom's Hep B negative, which is most of the time. So I think we have to ask ourselves, where do we need to put forth a set of vaccines where there's a high degree of certainty that they're absolutely necessary? And where can we actually be a little more flexible, recognizing there's no study that compares hepatitis B given at birth to given at age 12. It's a sexually transmitted infection. It's preventing. So what are we doing given it at birth? We've got to listen to people when they come in and want to modify the vaccine schedule, or they want to use the Japanese vaccine schedule, or the German vaccine schedule, or the Danish vaccine schedule, which is far less burdensome than the U.S. vaccine schedule. I think we need to listen to those individuals and not be so absolutist.
Why is there such a rejection of that, doctor? Because you're obviously very much in the industry. You're not FDA traditionally, but why is that something that's always rejected, seems to be rejected and loudly rejected by the medical establishment? What is it?
I think it's become a belief system. It has become a sacred cow that you are not allowed to question in the medical field. You will be demoted, you'll be dismissed, you'll not be admitted to medical societies. It's become one of these issues where there's a modern day McCarthyism. If you ask a question, and by the way, most American parents are asking these questions, then you're dismissed. And we've got to create a culture where we talk about the science and the evidence, not put out these dogmatic statements that I hear time and time again. You saw it with the COVID vaccine booster in young, healthy kids. You saw it with ignoring natural immunity during COVID. It was this get in line and obey and follow a standard message, or you're not a legitimate physician. And those days are over. We are encouraging a civil discourse, and we are inviting scientists to talk in a very healthy way about the data.
Doctor, you took over something that is a very, very difficult situation for you, an institution that is now distrusted by the American people. A lot of that's because of COVID and things that have come out. And now you're here to clean up somebody else's mess and try to get that trust back between the American people and organizations like the FDA. How do you do that?
Well, we're doing it through radical transparency. Our ultimate metric of performance is going to be the success a year or 2 years from now. I think you're going to see some cures and meaningful treatments passed by the FDA because of a new pathway by which we're getting our decisions out in weeks instead of a year. Healthier food for children is a massive priority. You saw our action to remove the 9 petroleum-based food dyes. We also saw one of the largest food makers, Tyson, just last week announced they're going to get rid of the next tier of chemicals, high fructose corn syrup, titanium dioxide, and BHT, which is a preservative. And so you're starting to see this mass movement to address the root causes of our childhood chronic disease epidemic. We can't keep medicating our nation's kids at scale. We've got to start talking about the root causes, and that's why we went ahead and erred on the side of caution when we identified the risk with acetaminophen in pregnancy.
Just to be clear, you're not going to mess with Red Lobster at all, right? I can't abide by that.
You'll be able to continue eating lobster to your heart's content, Jesse.
Thank you, doctor. I appreciate you very much, sir. Come back soon. All right. Brennan Tatum is going to join us next. He's actually run into Antifa before on a college campus. We'll talk to him about the memorial, the reaction to the memorial, Antifa designating terrorist organization. All that is still to come. Before we do that, though, you know what I did this morning? What I do most mornings. Got up, cup of coffee, couple breakfast tacos, and then I wash down my male vitality stack from Jock. It's part of my daily routine. I never miss it. Even if I'm traveling, I travel with it. I am obsessed with natural herbal supplements. Why? Well, I'm a natural skeptic. When I was first told about natural herbal supplements and the things they can do for you, I kind of scoffed at it. What is this hippie garbage? I have taken a male vitality stack every day for over 3 years. The energy I have, the way my mind works, the way my body feels is incredible. It is palpable. And it's not something you have to sit and wonder, is it, I don't feel anything? You will. I get email after email after email of people saying, my energy, I feel so good. Try some natural herbal supplements from Chalk. If you're a dude, male vitality stack. If you're a woman, female vitality stack. Chalk.com/JesseTV gets you a big fat discount. Go. We'll be back.
That wasn't just about a man who died. This was about a movement claiming divine permission to rule. Can I get a witness? It was a revival meeting wrapped in a memorial, a political rally dressed as church. What we saw in that arena was not simply faith-finding public expression. It was religious nationalism on full display. That is the truth. That is my truth. The language was unmistakable. Take the nation back for God. Restore America's covenant. This is a holy calling. That's what it sounded like. This is not the language of democracy. This is the language of domination. And when politicians wrap themselves in scripture, they are not calling us to virtue. They are demanding submission.
If I didn't know better, I would say he sounds afraid. Joining me now, my friend Brandon Tatum, host of the Officer Tatum Show, also a Turning Point USA contributor. Brandon, why would Don Lemon be so afraid?
Probably because that devil in him is listening to the Spirit of God and listening to the Word of God, and it's making him tremble. You know, the funny thing is, I watched this whole skit by him, and I don't think he said the name of Jesus one time. And we all know why he won't declare the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus is above every name. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. And that devil, Don Lemon, and the other devil that's on his back every night, both of them are terrified of that there would be a Christian revival. And I think he should be ashamed of himself.
But of course, as we know, he won't be ashamed of himself. And this is something I think the right is most definitely starting to get, and especially in the wake of not just Charlie's assassination, but all the evil we've seen in the past couple of years. I think the right, especially the Christian right, is starting to get, these people have declared war on you. They don't want to be your friend. They're not trying to get along. They're not trying to you know, they're not naive at all. They have declared war on all that is good, and we are going to have to fight that war.
Right, and the real reality is, how do you fight the war? All right, I don't believe that fighting the war with violence is the solution, although I would love to do violence. However, I think God has called us to a higher purpose. Now, you fight them by winning. They thought they killed Charlie and that would be the end of the story, but they didn't realize that they exacerbated everything that Charlie thought that he wanted to do is now coming to fruition in multiple Charlies. They thought they had one, now it's a million Charlies. So we can fight back by winning with truth. We can fight back by winning with love. However, that does not mean that we capitulate. That does not mean we lay down and take it. We still can fight back by defending ourselves as well. When we go to these events, we will go to the events and we will tell the truth. Also, we will have security. And also, we'll make sure these nut jobs don't survive another attack against us. We can do both things at one time.
Amen. Ilhan Omar's stupid, ugly face was on TV saying things like this.
What I find jarring is that there are so many people willing to excuse the most reprehensible things that he said, that they agree with that, that they're willing to have monuments for him, that they want to create a day to honor him, and that they want to produce resolutions in the House of Congress honoring his life and legacy. It is one thing to care about his life, because obviously so many people loved him, including his children and wife. But I am not going to sit here and be judged for not wanting to honor any legacy this man has left behind. That should be in the dustbin of history, and we should hopefully move on and forget the hate that he spewed every single day.
Brandon, this is a communist from Somalia. Her communist subversive family was brought here by the good graces of the United States of America. They came from the biggest dump on planet Earth, and she's done nothing but try to subvert this country since she got here. Why is she not denaturalized and deported yet?
I don't know. I mean, we're failing at that. We had a deportation exercise that we've done across the country that have been very successful. I don't know how she don't get lumped into that. I read something on the internet just recently, and I have to verify, but I've seen it circulate around, that she married a brother, a cousin, or something. This diabolical, foolish woman should be shunned for the things she's saying. And let me just add this to it. If you see Ilhan Omar when you die, that means you went to hell. This woman don't love God. This woman is anti-Christian. She's anti-American. She's anti-Jew. You name it. She's a devil and she's evil. We got to start calling these people out for what they really are. You never see her say anything positive about America. You never see her say anything positive about the founding. And she is in a part of a religion where their founder is having sex with a 9-year-old. Like, miss me with the stupidity and talk about being left in the dustpan of history. Maybe what you stand for should be in a dustpan of history. Like, can we tell the truth about what Ilhan Omar stands for? Can we tell the truth about the diabolical stuff that is preached in her book? Don't make me get started on these idiots. And it's time now in America for us to say, no, we got to draw a line in the sand. It's us versus them. It's good versus evil. And we're going to do the same thing that Jesus did when he was alive on earth. We're going to call you for who you are, you devil, you viper, you hypocrite. And I think every Christian should be bold enough and courageous enough to call it how we see it.
President Trump is calling it how he sees it when it comes to Antifa, officially yesterday designating them as a terrorist organization, which sounds great. But what does it mean? Brandon, you're a former cop. Most people don't know that. Well, I guess some people may not know that, but you're a former cop. What does it mean now that this is a terrorist organization?
Well, what I hope it means, because terrorist organization designation is a federal designation. So what I'm hoping that it means is that when anybody dress up with the indicia of Antifa or association with Antifa or have electronic communication with coordinating efforts on behalf of Antifa, funding Antifa, would all be prosecuted under the law by being involved in a domestic terrorist organization. And anything that someone do in the color of Antifa, which means that if you are claiming to be Antifa and you assault somebody, that is an aggravated charge. You are now acting on behalf of a terrorist organization and you should spend the rest of your life in prison. I don't know how we haven't done this before, because terrorist organizations, especially domestic, and I'll explain that, is that if you are using violence to coerce a political reality or perspective, that is called terrorism. If you are doing that domestically, that's called domestic terrorism. These people go around campuses, they go around cities, they're dressed in all black, covering their faces, throwing urine, throwing rocks on people, threatening death to people. I seen one of these idiots online just the other day saying that we should go out and kill ICE agents. Like, these people people should have been designated a long time ago. And I tell you what, I'm glad that they're designated as terrorists, because if they have the nerve to come to Arizona and perpetuate violence, they are going to meet with whoever they want to meet at the end of that tunnel that they believe in.
You've had a run-in with them on Campus Avenue.
Oh, trust me, only because I love Charlie and I was trying to do the right thing with Turning Point USA, I didn't create a whole bunch of sleeping bags for people to take naps on campus. These little weenie, non-binary, soy-eating cowards, I would have swept them all up by myself. However, I was trying to be reasonable, and I just had to push a couple of them out of the way to protect the people who were there, because law enforcement didn't do anything. And they told me, as Antifa is coming towards us, dressed in all black, coming off of campus, none of them were citizens or were students on campus. They said, we're not going to do anything. I said, well, you need to protect us. We have the right to stand here and have free speech. We're not going to do anything. And I said, well, I'm going to do my best to protect people. I mean, because these people are cowards. I mean, and I don't think it's the police officers individually that are cowards. It's the administration that are cowardice. It is the police chiefs of these organizations that are afraid of backlash. When you slap one of these weirdos in the head with a baton, they don't want that on the news. But they would love to see a black man get beat over the head by one of these Antifa thugs, and that's okay for publicity for the university. These people are cowards, man. Enough is enough, man. You can't come on campus. Because the thing is, it's a safety issue for students. We don't know who these people are. They could actually be terrorists. And they're coming onto campus dressed in all black, assaulting people, still in our tent, yelling out slurs. They slapped a woman in the back of the head in front of the police officers. And it's the cowardice nature that have been plaguing our law enforcement for years that needs to come to an end. And I'm hoping that the designation of them being a terrorist group allowed the officers to let their hair down and actually do their job.
Jimmy Kimmel got brought back to ABC, as you are well aware. Here's the clip that got him suspended for a week.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. In between the finger pointing, there was grieving. On Friday, the White House flew the flags at half staff, which got some criticism. But on a human level, you can see how hard the president is taking this.
My condolences on the loss of your friend Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks? They've just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House, which is something they've been trying to get, as you know, for about 150 years. And it's going to be a beauty.
Yes. He's at the fourth stage of grief, construction. Demolition. Construction. This is not how an adult grieves the murder of someone he called a friend. This is how a four-year-old mourns a goldfish, okay?
I thought Donald Trump and the government banned him for life. How's he coming back?
First of all, people are idiotic, and I think they jump to the conclusion that somehow the government can control what a private business does. They don't. The dude says something incredibly disgusting, which the organization got a lot of backlash for, so they suspended him indefinitely. Now, here's the thing. People don't understand, or they may not comprehend what indefinite means. Indefinite does not mean permanent. Indefinite means until further notice. And so they could have brought him back at any point in time, that day, next day, a month from now, a year from now, and they could have inevitably fired him. I think that they reacted to the backlash to try to quash or create a controversy, and then they brought him back. The problem is that they're going to face is that nobody's watching the show in the first place. You got to understand, this guy is not doing a joke. There's no punchline in saying that the shooter was one of MAGA. That's not even a punchline. 3 days before this show aired, and he probably recorded before that, they had already determined that this guy was brainwashed and manipulated and by the leftist ideology. Clearly, no right wing would kill Charlie Kirk because he was one of the best and brightest and greatest conservatives that we know of. So to say that is to try to hide or disguise behind comedy to really tell the truth of how you feel and then cover it by putting a little sign up to tell everybody to give an applause. Nobody laughing at that stuff. And then you're trying to laugh or mock the grief of a president. The president didn't want to get into that. He came there to talk about a certain topic. They don't play the whole presser where they're asking him a series of questions. They bring up a random question that he don't want to get emotional about. So I can understand that. Donald Trump has went all out for Charlie Kirk. Donald Trump has given him an escort, one of his casket to be at the rotunda. Donald Trump has given him awards post his death. He was at the memorial service, brought the whole cabinet. Shut the front door if you think Donald Trump is not mourning or rolling out the red carpet for Charlie's life and legacy. These idiots say things out of the side of their neck, and there should be consequences. Now, we don't have to give you the consequences because you have the right to say what you want to say. But the consequences that people are going to criticize you and that your employer don't have to capitulate to the stupidity that you're saying.
Brandon, thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Dome went on MSNBC, and it was hilarious. And we're going to talk about that. I'm going to first talk to you about your cell phone, about specifically your company, the company you use. I know you have a cell phone. We all do. Who do you pay every month? Because, one, you're paying way too much. You understand that? We switched from T-Mobile. That was the one I had last. And I was sticker shocked in the best way possible when we got our first bill from Pure Talk, because it was cut in half, clean in two. The average family saves over $1,000 a year when they switch to Pure Talk, and they're on the same network. It's the same towers as the big guys. Switch. This is the company that shares our values, does not crap all over this country. They've never given to Black Lives Matter. Switch. It takes 5 minutes, 10 minutes. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Okay, Dome is back. Kamala Harris has returned, and I'm so happy. Let me explain. I've missed her. I got a certain joy every day of mocking that moron. It's just something that brought great joy to my life. And since she's been gone, you know, drinking boxed wine in Napa Valley, I haven't been able to enjoy it at all. And now she's on this book tour. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to play one or two things, whatever I get to, of her little clips. But there are going to be more in the coming days. She's on a book tour. And let's talk about the book tour thing for a moment. The book industry, the book political connection, it's really bad. I'm not sure how we solve this problem, but it's really bad. So let me explain how it works. A lot of these politicians, you look at them and you look at their income and you think to yourself, how did they become a millionaire? How'd that happen? How's Bernie Sanders worth $3 million? How? Well, lots of times we say, well, they're corrupt. They are, but not necessarily in the way we think. That money oftentimes comes from book deals. Okay, well, you can understand that. I can understand that. Surely a lot of people want to buy these books. So I'm going to show you something right here. It's a total shameless plug, but I'm actually not trying to sell it to you. I wrote one book. It is the Anti-Communist Manifesto. All right, one book. Now, to my surprise, it killed. It was on several bestseller lists. In the month of July when it came out, it was the number one political book in the United States of America. Number one. I didn't hardly make anything. Hardly anything at all. So how is it that Bernie Sanders, and I'm sure Kamala Harris, how is it all these politicians make all this money on books? Here's how it works. You write a book. We would have to bank on people buying the books. But if you're a card-carrying member of the system, if you've been a loyal communist, you don't have to bank on the people buying these books. Who cares what Dome has to say about anything? Nobody cares. No one cares. She is no one's interested in this woman at all. But there are communist institutions across the United States of America who will mass purchase your books, thus bringing you large quantities of money. What do they do with the books? They throw them away. They stack them in a room somewhere. No one actually reads them. But, you know, Dirty Commie Institute says, I need 50,000 copies of it. In the end, it's a way to legally, this is what's sad, it's legal, to legally drop a boatload of money in a politician's bank account. And Democrat after Democrat after Democrat has done this time and time and time again. It is such a pervasive problem that, you know how I just told you my book was on the bestseller list, bunch bestseller lists? They have little annotations on the bestseller list for people who had institutions buy their books in mass. That's how common of a problem it is. Dirty Commie Institute will come buy 50,000 copies. The end result, of course, is they want Kamala Harris's bank account to be nice and fat because she stole a bunch of your money and found ways to give it back to these filthy organizations. But let's focus right now on something hilarious Dome said. There's a thing, there are things that are known that kind of everybody knows, but only a few people are willing to actually voice. Gay people in the black community. The black community has traditionally, it's kind of changing now, which is good, but has traditionally been hardcore Democrat. You know, Barack Obama's getting 92, 93% of the black vote. It's been a traditional hardcore Democrat demographic. But they're really not big on the whole gay thing. When I say not big on it, they absolutely despise it. They reject it outright. And Dome, when she was given the nomination, had a choice to make. She had to go out and choose a VP. Hey, Dome, why didn't you pick Mayor Pete?
You say in the book really bluntly that your personal first choice for your running mate would have been Pete Buttigieg, yeah. And you praise him effusively. You say he would have been an ideal partner if I were a straight man. And you say effectively that demographically it was too much to ask of the American people, to ask them to elect you with him as your running mate. To say that he couldn't be on the ticket effectively because he was gay is hard to hear.
No, that's not what I said. That he couldn't be on the ticket because he is gay. My point, as I write in the book, is that I was clear that in 107 days, in one of the most hotly contested elections for president of the United States, against someone like Donald Trump, who knows no floor, to be a black woman running for president of the United States and as a vice presidential running mate, a gay man, with the stakes being so high, it made me very sad, but I also realized it would be a real risk. Maybe I was being too cautious. You know, I'll let our friends, we should all talk about that. Maybe I was. But that's the decision I made.
to watch her try to not say it, but also say it while not saying it. No, it's not, I didn't say it's because he was gay. It's just that it was too risky to choose him. And of course, they'll never just come right out and be honest about why. Why? Hey, get down to the nitty gritty, Dome. What is it? What particular group would reject such a choice? Dome, I am curious. But she's just so terrible at it. And this is part of what gives me such joy, is these people are such disgusting, despicable liars. They can never just come out and be honest about anything at all. It's not hard to say. It's not hard to come out and say, I didn't pick Pete Buttigieg because he's gayer than a $3 bill and because the black community completely rejects that kind of thing, and I wouldn't have been able to get enough of the black vote and it would have cost me the election. That's not a difficult thing to say. It's true. Everyone else knows it, but they can't, so they have to kind of try to dance. Anyway, lighten the mood. Next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. We opened up the show with a bit of a Trump love fest, and apparently we're just going to keep that going here because John Carl with ABC is a putrid human being. I remember the first 4 years Donald Trump was president. He did everything in his power to lie and destroy and kneecap that presidency because he's a communist revolutionary. Donald Trump was quite kind to him in his first 4 years, and he saw what that kindness got him. Donald Trump is taking a different approach now.
The reason I'm winning is because you're guilty, John. You're guilty. ABC is a terrible network, a very unfair network, and you should be ashamed of yourself. NBC is equally bad. I don't know who's worse. I think they're equally bad. And, you know, for you to stand there and act so innocent and ask me a question like that. But look, you paid a big price because you were dishonest, John. The reason I won that lawsuit was because you were dishonest. You were proven to be dishonest. And so you can't sit back and just say, oh, well, what do you think? You know, like you're some wonderful person. You're not a wonderful person. Frankly, you're a terrible reporter. You know it, and so do I. Okay.
I love that. I love that that is starting to spread throughout the GOP. Stop with the, stop. Well, you're being quite biased, Bob. No, just call them scumbags. Your enemy is your enemy. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.